relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome back, dear friends. I misspoke whilst in the last hour. The senators have been sworn in for the impeachment trial of former President Donald J. Trump. The objection, the constitutional objection from Senator Rand Paul will not be raised in two weeks' time, when the actual trial begins on February the 8th. He has actually raised it today. Well done. God bless Senator Rand Paul. Whether it goes anywhere in a split Senate is not possible to predict right now, but we will discuss that and so much more with our regular guest from Stanford University, the author of so many seminal works, including The Case for Trump, The Second World Wars, and also The Western Way of War. Professor Victor Davis Hanson, welcome back to America First.
Thank you for having me.
Professor, we have relatively breaking news that occurred whilst we were on air, that a U.S. district judge for the Southern District of Texas has put in a restraining order on President Biden's deportation freeze. Is this what we are condemned to now, the tit for tat of what goes around comes around? Mm-hmm. Because we saw this relentlessly with President Trump's executive orders that various judges would think that they could stop them. Well, now a Texas judge appointed by President Trump has done exactly the same to Joe Biden.
Yeah, I think Republicans didn't do that as much because they were less inclined to use the courts to overturn legislation or executive orders, and they didn't have the judges. There weren't that many conservative judges, and now Donald Trump appointed some 300 of them, and they saw what the left did to Donald Trump. So, yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of that.
And amongst those executive orders, one I'm very curious to get your take on, given your career in analyzing and being a historian of warfare, the strategies of warfare. One of my favorite works of yours is A War Like No Other. This idea that we, with the stroke of a pen, the reimposition of transgenderism in the U.S. military, is this a meaningful act by the president? Does it have a strategic effect, or is it really the consequence of just another ideological move that the Democrats had to take to please some radical base?
I think it's both. I think it's certainly symbolic and it pleases their base. But that and other declarations are going to really change female sports in the United States, as you know. If
yes.
You're a sprinter, a shot putter, a female, you're going to be at some point in your career competing against somebody who was born male and will have a larger body frame and et cetera, et cetera. It also raises the other question is, I think conservatives have to look very differently at the CIA, the FBI, and the U.S. military. There's this idea that these are conservative institutions that are concerned primarily with the defense of the United States, and that's not true anymore. They have social agendas. The left really likes them and is fond of them because they can enact social and cultural radical changes by fiat rather than the clumsy back and take of a congressional debate or legislative action. So people like the CIA because they can call a CIA director or a four-star general and say, this is what we want. We want you to do it. And these guys are in themselves in a revolving door between going into the Pentagon or going into the CIA, coming out on a contractor board or a lucrative billet on a cable television. So I think that there's going to be a radical change in attitude among the conservative base toward these institutions. I think if a left-wing person introduced a bill, maybe a Bernie Sanders said, you know what, no general for 5 years should be able to be on a defense contracting board, no more Lockheed, I think that most conservatives would vote for it.
Yeah. Given this raft of executive orders, it's very interesting for me that I've just clicked on your website, victorhansen.com, and the very top article is a piece on the 1776 Commission, as created by Donald Trump, and its first report, which is a document we've discussed on this show, remarkable piece of work. What does it say of the new president and the new administration that on the very first day of the inauguration, President Biden felt impelled to dissolve the 1776 Commission?
Well, that was another one of these symbolic acts to his base. I don't think he read the report. I don't think he knew anything what it was about. We had this discussion 10 years ago during the Obama administration. It was very non-controversial. The commission was deliberately made up of people who were not all academics. There were lawyers, political officials, bureaucrats, ex-elected officials. It was not written in academies. It wasn't heavily footnoted. The whole point of it was to review the founding in 1776 with the Declaration and the accentuation of that founding in 1787 with the signing of the Constitution. And it became controversial, I think, for three reasons. One, Donald Trump had his fingerprints on it. He appointed it, they got angry, and it was a refutation of the 1619 Project, which was a fallacious argument that the United States started 180-some years earlier with the first arrival of an African-American chattel slave to the shores. And then second, there were people from the Claremont Institute,
yes,
Charles Kessler, Larry Arndt, Matthew Spaulding, and that institution had been very pro-Trump and had been the intellectual, framework of a lot of MAGA agendas. And so that was controversial. And third and finally, after we wrote this document, we decided that we should remind students and teachers and the public what were the challenges to it, especially in the 20th century. We talked about 19th century racism, slavery, 20th century racism, contemporary racism, fascism, communism. But there were two other challenges, I think, that are at the heart of the controversy. A lot of us felt that progressivism, the idea that it's a fluid constitution and it has to change with improvement in human nature, supposedly, should be addressed. And then the identity politics movement that we all identify by our superficial appearances rather than our character and innate opposition to what Martin Luther King had told us and recommended. So those last two elements, I think, also contributed to the controversy. And then we only had 3 weeks, Sebastian, and it was very, very hard to, in Zoom and lockdown, write, but it was a very good document. It reads very well.
It does.
Very fair. Frederick Douglass, I think, and Martin Luther King are referenced more than any other individuals there, except for the founders themselves.
Regular guests and colleagues of mine, including Charlie Kirk, as well as the good professor, were members on, potentially, we'd have to check, one of the shortest-lived commissions in American history. But we are reposting the report right now on our Twitter feeds, our Facebook pages. Read it. Just share it. copy it and make sure that it is as well read as you can make it. It's the 1770 Commission Report, penned in part and supported by our guest, Professor Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution at Stanford. In the last 2 minutes we have with you in this segment, Professor, what do you respond to those who say, if you're a conservative, you really shouldn't be applauding federal government's involvement in education? But that wasn't really the aim of the commission, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was to put a document, make a document available from the government, just like a CDC guideline or Center National Institute of Health. It was a document that would be posted for citizens to go up there and see a very simple history and explanation and analysis of where the United States came from, how it evolved, where it is now, what were the challenges, what were its problems, etc. And that would give them a very different view from the mainstream monopolies of social media, Silicon Valley, New York Times, Washington Post. And that was the purpose of it. It was sort of like what the left says NPR is, or NPR or PBS. Only I think anybody who looks at that document doesn't see the level of bias that you find on NPR and PBS.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's the 1776 report. We're posting it right now on social media. Download it, print it, read it, share it. It is vital, vital reading. We are talking to our regular guest, senior fellow with the Hoover Institution at Stanford. Follow him right now at VD Hanson on Twitter and also his webpage, victorhanson.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to president. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network.
Hi, this is President Trump, and Sebastian is really a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's been with me from the beginning. Listen to him. We all learn.
Thank you kindly, Mr. Trump. It's so delightful to have guests where you don't know. You have a surfeit, a cornucopia of excess. Which book shall I recommend to our listeners to check out? Every segment I can recommend another one. In this case, Victor Davis Hanson's An Autumn of War, Why the West Has Won, and one that I'm halfway through right now, Who Killed Homer? Welcome back, Professor Hanson. Follow him right now at VD Hanson.
Thank you.
We had Lord Black on earlier, and I'd like to ask you the same question I asked Conrad. Many voices on the right, especially from just, common old garden voters, just American citizens, saying enough is enough. The GOP has failed us. They don't understand the things that occurred in 2016 that you wrote in your book, Case for Trump, and we need a third party. Is that a rational response, and is there any way a third party could succeed in the system we have in America today?
Well, under the Electoral College, that was the idea of the founders. They did not want multiple parties, so we saw that the closest we've ever come is Ross Perot, and had he not pulled out, I think, in the 1992 election,
yes,
I think he might have done pretty well. And then he reentered. He got, I think, 19% of the vote. But as we saw in Georgia, Donald Trump, and we saw in the election, I'm not looking at the Electoral College, a popular vote. It's very hard for Republicans to keep everybody on the same, I thought that the Never Trumpers were pretty irrelevant. In numbers they were, but they were very influential in the Electoral College. I think they did a lot of damage. National Review, the Bulwark, Lincoln Project, with swing independent voters. So I think the base and solid conservatives, yeah, I think that's, they can get a party, they can get 40% of the vote, but where you get the next 8 or 9%, I don't know, unless you have a very charismatic Reagan-esque leader, and that's going to be hard. But I don't think the Republican Party is going to go back before Trump. I just don't see it happening.
And how significant was it in that case that we have the official announcement the president hasn't indicated a plot for his library, but he has opened in Florida his office of the former president, and yesterday made his first political endorsement since leaving the White House of Sarah Huckabee Sanders for governor of Arkansas. Are you surprised how quickly he seems to be back in the fray politically?
No, it's ironic. I mean, I think I was ambiguous about his tweeting a lot because I think it hurt him. But now that he's off Twitter and he can't tweet, and he's just been on the receiving end of this hysterical hatred and this crazy trial in the Senate, and we've seen what Joe Biden is doing, I think public perceptions are changing daily. And I think he's the beneficiary of that. And you can even see it when maybe the one candidate of the possible field that's will likely announce, Nikki Haley, was on Fox last night. And you would think that she would say, you know, it's time to reject Trumpism and go back. And she didn't.
Yeah.
And you can say she's insincere or what, but she just pretty much endorsed the entire Trump agenda on China, on reindustrialization, on secure borders. So when you get somebody like that from the traditional wing of the Democratic Party, the neoconservative wing, I just don't think anybody thinks it's viable to go back to Romneyism or McCainism or Bushism.
What about the argument that a certain bar was set, a standard was inculcated in 2016 by Donald Trump not being a politician, and that, you know, a Nikki Haley or a Matt Gaetz or a Hawley or a Cotton can't replicate that because, again, it needs to be somebody who comes from the outside. Is that a weakness that the Trump presidency created, or can it be overcome by a machine politician?
Well, I think what you're saying is, in order to enact the Trump agenda, it offends all of Wall Street, Silicon, anybody that has any dealings
yes.
with China, and those are considerable. It destroys any chance to work with libertarian, you know, we're going to have free trade even if it bankrupts
right.
those people. And I could go on, but you get the picture that corporate America wants open borders.
Yes.
So you have to get somebody either outside of the system that's not beholden to them, or somebody within the system that's got such skill, rhetorical, charismatic, political, that he can stand up against them, or she can. Otherwise, they just become endlessly compromised and nullified. So, yeah, you have a good point.
But more than that, I'm thinking of the way that people look at individuals who are already politicians. Wasn't a large portion of the seductive attraction of a Trump presidency? This is a man who'd never run for political office, or at least never held political office before.
Yes.
And that's something that
Absolutely.
None of these candidates can replicate. It has to be another celebrity.
I think there's a few. Yeah, I think a few of them that when you see that they're running as non-candidates. So Josh Hawley is running as somebody that is just different, or Rand Paul is just different. So there's going to be people, maybe even a Tom Cotton, I don't know. Or there are going to be some politicians that say, I say things and I do things that gets me in trouble with my establishment, gets me in trouble with conservative donors, whatever they are. People are going to try to at least feign that because of Donald Trump. But if you're asking me, is there anybody on the political landscape that can get out and speak to 40,000 people at a rally and hold their attention for an hour and a half? The answer is no.
No, the answer is clearly no, absolutely. But in the meantime, if somebody wishes to even fake that appearance, they're going to have the imprimatur. They're going to have the mark of approval of private citizen Donald Trump, are they not?
I think so, because this should be his nadir. I think the riot was unfortunate. You and I had talked at one point it was time to move on and win Georgia, but never, well, that's not water on the bridge. This should have been his nadir. This was the point when he had the greatest amount of criticism and he had the greatest amount of invective and venom shown him. And yet he went out with a Harvard-Harris poll at 48% approval and Rasmussen 51. And now with Biden every day creating a new enemy, Yeah, I think he's got a good trajectory to be a major player during the midterms, and who knows what he'll do in 4 years.
I think that's a very, very enlightening way to look at the last 5 days of the Biden administration, that literally, and this is not along political lines, this is jobs in the oil industry, this is men going into girls' locker rooms, that this president is creating new enemies day in, day out. And that will have political consequences. In the meantime, understand how we got Donald Trump, why he's so different, and what his lasting impact on American politics is by buying the case for Trump amongst many of the incredible works by our regular special guest from the Hoover Institution, senior fellow, classicist, military historian. Follow him at VDH on Twitter, Professor Victor Davis Hanson. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
Let me get this straight. The FBI is responsible for doing counterintelligence on China, but actually they've been spending their time targeting the President of the United States, Donald Trump. And now, under the new administration, we hear from think tank experts, journalists, current and former law enforcement officials, that what the FBI now wants to do is they want to use the same methods and techniques that they've been using to target Islamic extremists. They're going to redefine Donald Trump supporters as domestic terrorists. I mean, if you're an American adversary, you look at the United States and you think we've gone nuts, because we have. That's exactly what's happened.
You look at the United States and you think we've gone nuts, because that's exactly what's happened. Lee Smith, an unusually robust and forthright Lee Smith on Maria Bartiromo's show at the weekend. God bless him, especially for being on America First. Happy New Year, Lee. Congratulations.
Happy New
Year. And thanks. We like the new Lee Smith. What happened to you? Have you been taking the same shots that Biden's been taking?
Yeah. Get it? I'm using a My Pillow, getting more sleep.
Now I understand it. Okay, we've been talking about people who've been banned today. Mike Lindell has been banned forever from Twitter.
Terrible.
We have been banned for a whole week by YouTube because we had a congresswoman on expressing her First Amendment rights. Lee, I'm going to give credit. It's a mutual friend of ours. We're talking to Lee Smith, author of The Plot Against the President, author of The Permanent Coup. We have a friend, Jim Hansen, a mutual friend of ours, and he used this phrase in a little message group I'm in about a week ago. The tactic of the left now, they've called us Islamophobes, they've called us white supremacists and even Nazis. If you're a conservative, the goal now is, they've pivoted as usual, they move the goalposts, and now it is the criminalization of being a conservative. Do you concur?
Yes, absolutely. That's what's going on. Look, I should say, I am enraged, as you are, as our friends are. It's outrageous, but I have to say, I'm given where we are right now in America, I'm frankly optimistic, because these guys have gotten so far out of control and they're just they're high on their own supply, right? These are people, remember, who have no sense of history. Their history goes no further back than a week old tweet, right? This is how they understand how.
So
it
why
works.
Is that a good thing? Why does that mean that we shouldn't be as concerned as some would have us be?
Oh, we should be concerned. Absolutely. What I'm saying is they're overly optimistic. They're overly exuberant. They're high on their own supply. They are backing the. We don't have on the right, or I'll put it like this, not just on the right, but the defenders of the Republic do not have a lot of political moves right now, right? Our big move is for them to make mistakes.
Yes.
Is for them to make big mistakes. A big mistake, I believe, was dispatching more than 20,000 National Guardsmen to Washington, D.C. That looks crazy. It's very bad for the country. Right. As a whole, it's bad for the country. But these people are not thinking about the country right now. And frankly, we can't think about foreign policy or anything like that. We have to think at some point about getting back to protecting the integrity of the country. That's not where we are right now. Anyway, the move of calling up 20,000 guardsmen shows fear. It shows nuttiness. The efforts to impeach Donald Trump. These will not show confidence. These also will show fear and nuttiness. Look, these people forget there's a whole country out there. It's not necessarily just what foreigners are doing. There's a whole country who's watching what they're doing. How will Americans respond? People in Washington love it. People in New York love it. People in think tank world love it. But it's a big country, more than 330 million people. What is the rest of the country thinking while these nuts continue to do these hunts of their adversaries? What will the rest of the country do? That's why I'm optimistic. Well, I believe Americans are fundamentally rational, and they see what's happening before them.
They will make a mistake. They will potentially make a strategic mistake. The fact that we have to wait until that happens doesn't give me a warm feeling inside, but it is inevitable that they will overreach. Check out his superb books, The Plot Against the President and The Permanent Coup. One of them turned into an amazing film by our friend Amanda Milius, The Plot Against the President. You can watch it. Record-breaking results on Amazon. PATPmovie.com. That's The Plot Against the President. PATPmovie.com. We will be back with our good friend Lee Smith momentarily. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, drug-free pain relief that actually works. Just listen to Ken from Arkansas. I've been taking Relief Factor for about 3 months, and I'm amazed at how much my pain has decreased. In rainy weather, I would be in ridiculous pain and just wanting to crawl in bed and cry. At this writing, it's been raining all day, and I feel just fine. Before Relief Factor, I never had a day when something didn't hurt. Now, most days, I have a great quality of life. Thanks, Relief Factor. That could be you. Find out if Relief Factor can liberate you from your daily pain as it has for tens of thousands of Americans by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack. Call 800-500-8384 or just go to ReliefFactor.com. That number again, 800-500-8384. Your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95 from ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your house in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening, just like I do, just like Ken does. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you like it works for me, Kent, and thousands of your fellow Americans. You've waited long enough. Don't wait any longer. You deserve to know. You know it makes sense. ReliefFactor.com.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
It's happening to everybody. It's happened to Mike Lindell. It's happened to us with our YouTube channel. Check out how deep and pervasive the threat is and what we need to do about it with Dennis Prager's new movie, No Safe Spaces, co-starring Adam Carolla and a host of special guests, including Jordan Peterson, Ben Shapiro, and so many more. You can watch it now through us at salemnow.com. Order your copy of No Safe Spaces, promo code G-O-R-K-A for the best discounts. That's salemnow.com. Dennis Prager's new movie, No Safe Spaces. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. We are back with our good friend Lee Smith. He is the author of The Plot Against the President. He is a regular writer on matters swampish. Can I ask you a personal question, Lee? Do you mind?
No, absolutely. Sure.
Are you worried? Yeah. Are you worried for your personal future, given the fact that you're one of the handful of people who's researched and published honestly about the swamp? When you look at what's happening around us, the blacklists, the idea that people have to be, quote-unquote, according to Katie Couric, right, deprogrammed. What about Lee Smith's future?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's I think it's very bad for the country. I mean, sure, I think that anyone that sees what's happening both through the book publishing industry, we saw when they canceled, Simon & Schuster canceled Senator Josh Hawley's book. But Regnery picked it up. There are different avenues that are being closed off to us. I mean, what they did to Parler, I mean, this was clearly just a monopolistic practice. This was just a bunch of tech oligarchs beating up on someone. It had nothing to do with, I think it didn't even have anything to do with ideology. They just wanted to beat up a competitor. So, yeah, it's quite alarming, and I think it affects all of us. Nonetheless, there are different ways for – I mean, we all existed before Twitter, right? I mean, I'm not saying that we'll that we should get out.
Life without social media. Lee Smith, what a radical thought.
It's a big thing because we can help get our ideas out to a larger audience more quickly. But nonetheless, we see that people for thousands of years managed to get their ideas out. Whether it was pamphleteers, we didn't have social media at the American Revolution, right? There were pamphleteers, there were broadsides. There was not social media that helped bring down the Soviet Union. There was some is that. So I'm confident that especially this incredibly creative, productive, entrepreneurial class of Americans will figure out different ways for us to communicate and disseminate these very important ideas. And again, I might appear to be Pollyannish, but I think that once people try to shut you down, they're saying they think that your ideas are dangerous. And that makes it really more appealing to whom? Not to the nuts who run it, who run the New York Times, not to the people who work with or vote for Adam Schiff, but to young people, right? They're sick of hearing this is what happens all throughout history. Young people, they think their teachers, they think their elders are making stuff up. They think their elders are lying to them. So they want to go out and they want to get answers for themselves. Well, that's fantastic. There's people like you and me and others who are here coming up with different answers to the same questions. It's an exciting time.
So it's less of fun. You're making it sound, and I may be drawing inferences that I shouldn't. You make it sound as if it's less a function of what the existing conservative milieu does and more a question of how many new conservatives or how many people we can bring in who haven't seen themselves as conservatives in the near future, thanks in part to the overreach of the Biden administration. Is that the kind of scenario you expect, Lee Smith?
Absolutely, right? We see the establishment conservatives who are, going on in their same way, and they're making excuses for the excesses and the insane stuff that the Biden administration is already doing. But right, there are more people. There are younger people, and they feel, Sab, I mean, you were there at the origins. You were there at the beginning. But there are young people who think that what Donald Trump stands, and even more than Donald Trump, who thinks that what MAGA stands for, making America great again, they think that's exciting. They think it's, they think it's got a little edge. They think it's got some zest. So that these are all huge upsides. If you look at not just establishment conservatives, but if you look at the people on the left, these aren't even leftists, right? These are people who are defending enormous corporate interests. There's nothing left wing about it. And it's not that hard to point it out. Look at the people who are behind big tech, right? So again, younger people, this is a cliche, but I'm going to use it anyway. Younger people in the future, to appeal to young people and say, hey, check this out. There's some interesting people who are saying stuff here. Some people have interesting answers, and there's some edge to it. So again, I'm sure I'm coming across as Pollyannish, but looking at this historically, I think there's lots of reasons for us to be optimistic, and not least because we're Americans. And as Americans, we're optimists.
We always are. We have to be happy warriors. Last question for Lee Smith. Follow him right now, Lee Smith, D.C. The president has endorsed his – the former president has endorsed his first political candidate, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, for governor of Arkansas. The role of Donald Trump in the near-term future, what's your prediction, Lee Smith?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I want to see him promote – I want to see him promote people who represent what we've been talking about, people who are pro-America. And I want to see him attack those candidates, who are, it's not that they're anti-Trump, but their interests are tied to the swamp, not to America, right? I'm talking about people like Liz Cheney, right? Here's Liz Cheney in Republican leadership who used Russiagate to try to keep troops in Afghanistan, right? That whole Russia bounty story. I mean, this is just lunacy. The idea that this has been going on that long. So, yes, I mean, whether or not Donald Trump runs for president again in 2024, as a lot of people have been suggesting, he's still the leader of the party. So he's well-placed to play an incredibly important role right now.
He is the author of The Permanent Coup, as well as The Plot Against the President, which was made into a movie, a superb movie. Yes. Check it out.
Which you were in, and you have a great role in it.
I'm a bit part in it. PATPmovie.com. Superb books, excellent movie. Follow him, Lee Smith, DC, one of the guys who has always spoken the truth to the swamp. Keep doing what you do. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka. If you call us, please do me a favor and do it on a provider who's on our side, not one of the big cell phone companies. You know who they are. At the end of the month, when you pay your bill, they do what? They make donations to things like Planned Parenthood and gun control organizations. Go with the good guys. Patriot Mobile today. Patriot Mobile has an even larger, expanded network of stronger coverage, 4G LTE, a US-based customer service team that is rated number one in customer service in the United States. You can keep your old number, get amazing deals today. Go with the only Christian conservative cell phone company today. Call 972-PATRIOT to talk to one of their U.S.-based team members, or just go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA. And the nicest thing is, when you make a call, when you send a text, you're not going to fund people who hate what you stand for, because Patriot Mobile supports the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, and the sanctity of life. Join the good guys today, like so many others have. PatriotMobile.com/GORKA or 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-728-7468. Do it today.
Portions of America First are brought to you by the film No Safe Spaces.
He's right. Of course he's right. He's Lee Smith. He's one of our guests. Sooner or later, and I think sooner, they will make a big mistake. They've made several already, including the XL pipeline and the transgender executive order. But I don't want to wait. I don't think we should wait until that big mistake, whatever it is, the multiple caravans crossing the border, bringing more coronavirus into the United States, whether it's China saying now's the time to do something threatening to our friends and allies in the Asia-Pacific domain, something military. In the meantime, we can't stop them from making those mistakes because, well, quote-unquote, they won the election Are you listening, YouTube? In the meantime, we need to engage. We need to engage with the people that Lee identified. People who may see themselves as Democrats or may be utterly apolitical, but who are going to be hurt by the decisions that have already been taken. I think 11,000 is an incredibly low number for the number of jobs lost with that one executive order that shut down the XL part of the Keystone pipeline. The transgender decision that will drive a massive tension between the young girls of America, threatened not just on the playing fields and the pitches and the courts, but in the changing rooms, in places where there should always be safety for young women. Their parents aren't going to just stand by and witness the ideological degradation of everything that is close to them. Their children, the safety, the sanctity of those young girls. So let's start now. Yes, it's, what is it, day six? Only the fifth full day of work for sleepy, creepy Beijing Biden. But let's build new constituencies now. Let's create new communities based upon common issues that ostensibly don't look political, but will strengthen our side, the side that has truth, the side that is defined by objective issues and the idea that there is only one truth. However, remember, every single day in the meantime, they will try to provoke you. Don't let them. Keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in. And please, my friend, stay frosty.